This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Hello, Australia, and welcome to the big Tuesday edition of Kennedy Molloy. It is chock-a-block. George Columbaris involved in a scandal. The latest of many. We'll get to the bottom of it. Real or fake, you be the judge.
And who's actually making accusations? I'll have information about that.
Great.
Hey, Mick, I see the words chick flick and you've been horrified.
I have been horrified. Mother's Day is on the horizon. Yes. I am doing a community service for men out there everywhere. I'm going to alert you to the dangers lurking in your cinema.
You look very pasty and pale about it. I've got an entertainment report covering all things Bachelor, Bachelorette. Please don't turn off.
Okay.
Because I did last night. I'll tell you why.
Will it include anything about Olivia Newton-John's new biopic, which I plan to bring up?
Well, I might bring it up because you have a very close relationship with Olivia, don't you?
Oh, do not go there.
Okay,
I will see you.
We might go there.
Mick Coyne is back and we'll be dishing a few out today.
We've still got quite a few to divvy
out.
There's some amazing.
There's one including a skull today.
I'm hearing one that involved wedding bells as well, which interests me.
Yeah.
We're going to speak with the Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, and also his very good mate, Lawrence Mooney, is going to be popping in, which is fantastic.
The Foo Fighters have taken the stage with John Travolta. They've collaborated. we'll get to the bottom of that as well. And we'll also talk about extraordinary lengths people have gone to see their team play.
It's your
chance to get involved. We've got a stunning story from overseas and a few from the local terrain that have to be seen
to be believed.
And we'll get to the bottom of this stupid bomber jacket once and for all. I'm done with this.
Listen, it's not my fault that it's a stupid bomber jacket.
Right.
It wasn't a stupid bomber jacket.
Turn it off, Dave. We might as well start
ago.
Here.
All right.
Since you've started. Hello, Dave.
G'day,
Dave.
Guys. How are you?
Good. I was sitting...
just before we get into it.
Yeah.
I'm a bit...
Do you know what?
I'm a bit over the bomber jacket too, to be honest.
You're over
now.
It. Something that started out as a joke, as a bit of
friendly
banter.
No, because you always take things too far.
You escalated into...
You pushed it too far.
What's now become... It's virtually legal action.
Don't think so.
You went into my house and you stole prints.
Well,
and
I didn't.
You took
I wasn't breaking and entering.
You were.
No, I'm a close friend of yours and you've said you're welcome anytime.
Yeah, well, those... codes have been changed, I think you'll find.
Oh, my God, that's so easy to break.
I wish I had a dog or something. I wish I had a big...
I'm a dog whisperer. The dog would roll on its tum. It would roll on its back and let me scratch its tum-tum. That'd be me. Hey, I'll tell you what. I've got the prints for you. They're in the back of my car.
Oh, what? I've got to get them home now.
Yeah, they're heavy. I'm not driving back to your place.
In the back of your car? Your dog sits in the back of your car. We're covered in dog hair.
Might be just a little bit of fur in it.
A
you might
trouble,
need a
Jane
hand
Kennedy,
to get them out.
You are in a lot
hey,
of trouble.
A few people have commented.
We've had a lot of social reaction.
We want to put it to bed once and for all now.
Oh, yeah? This is it now? But do you want me to read some of the Facebook messages that have come through, Mick and Jane?
I'm sure this will be even-handed.
Michelle Vivier says, well done, Jane. Mick was a prick on this occasion. Dwayne Fernando, harden up, Molloy. Sounded like you were going to cry.
Oh, it did.
John Ryan
Shut
says,
up, Jane,
you should have said, and a Mick coin.
Oh, I should have said 15
no, you'll never, You will never see a Mick coin. You will never.
I don't care.
Will never
some Instagram comments here. Shane Dennis, dirty deeds, done dirt cheap.
Yeah,
I hate climbing ladders, says, I warned Mick twice last week that women do revenge really, really well, and I was proven right.
Spiteful.
Some of the comments.
It's not funny.
It is funny. Anyway, that's it. You won't be hearing any more about the stupid bomber jacket.
It's done. Put it to bed. Now, did you pop your kids off today?
I did. The kids have gone to Canberra. They do a school camp. Well, it's not a camp. They really, the whole year in grade, when you're in grade six, a lot of schools do this in Australia. They all converge on Canberra, a warning ahead.
That's great.
There are a couple of...
It'd be great for your kids. They'll be able to get their pills checked.
Well, you can now.
Make sure they're not taking any rubbish in their ease.
They're not off to the Groove and the Move Festival as far as I'm concerned.
Are you sure about that? Mm. Are you sure
they're
about
11.
That?
I'm not.
Well,
you know they can go. You go to the tent and you get them tested, but guess what?
Firecrackers and porn, Jane.
Yeah.
Firecrackers and porn.
Yeah, well, hopefully they don't go to the drug testing because they found some deadly, couple of deadly pills, by the way, there. No, they've gone to Canberra. They're going to go to Parliament House. They're going to go to...
Sure they are. They should go to the Portrait Gallery and have a look at my portrait.
What?
Yeah, see, that was the forefront of their minds when they headed to
Canberra.
Oh, sorry,
Dave, were you unaware of this?
What's happened?
Well, I have a photo that hangs occasionally, because photos are semi-permanent. The paintings are permanent. But if you choose wisely and get your dates right, you can swing by the National Portrait Gallery and see a photo of me in my natural habitat.
In your undies.
That's in a pub drinking a beer.
It surprises me that it's there.
You should send the kids by to have a look at it and just drink in the majesty.
They might be listening because we go to Mix 106.3 in Canberra.
Well, shout out to Canberra.
Hello, everyone there. Who, as you were, I'm Canberra's favourite son.
No, I'm
from Canberra, born in Canberra.
Pardon me, you're not Canberra's favourite son. I've got the list in front of me.
Abandoned by my mother for 3 days. I don't want to go into that, but that's when the trouble started with me and her.
I've got the whole list of famous people from Canberra in order of popularity.
Far away.
Number one is Alex O'Loughlin.
Who the F is Alex O'Loughlin?
He's the famous Australian actor who is in Hawaii Five-0.
Oh, the remake.
Are you number two? No. Mia Wasikowska.
Well, she's just nobbled
me
there.
Another Australian actress. She played Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, she's okay.
Wow.
Okay. Number three? No. Sorry, not you, Mick. It's Anna Flanagan. She's a hockey player.
I've got to be number four.
No, that'd be Imogen Bailey.
Imogen Bailey?
Don't muck around, Jane. Imogen Bailey, like FHM model Imogen Bailey.
Correct.
Like Zoo magazine model Imogen Bailey.
Are you number six?
I've got the list, Jane. I can tell you where I am. I'm eight.
You're number eight.
I'm number eight, but this is rigged.
It's not rigged. It's actually very official.
I'm too ahead of James Heard. What do you ever do?
How are you ever going to go up the list? Right. What do you have to do?
I'm going to go there and lobby.
I think you should.
I'm going to go to Canberra and I'm going to lobby to go up the order.
It is a little bit of an outrage, I think, that you're higher than Imogen Bailey, just saying. I think we need to move. Do a bit of moving and shaking.
What's wrong
in Canberra.
With her? Who the hell is Sarah Ioannidis? Oh, well, sorry, I'm a conductor in a world-famous orchestra.
Oh, well, that's a very noble... You just don't have a noble
Canberra.
Career.
Credit where credit's due.
All right. Well,
a big statue of me at one of those big roundabouts.
Why do you have to go too far? Why do you have to have a statue?
A massive one, like Michael Jackson's in the film.
No.
You know, the one?
yeah, I do.
The ones like Saddam Hussein, they toppled.
Oh, yeah.
Well, people be having to topple them.
How dare you?
Yeah, I'll help push it.
A nude one, like David, but with a bigger, but with a bigger wank.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
MasterChef starts up. In the next
Does
week.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a big one for Channel 10.
It is. It's one of their big ticket items.
It's
a tree in the Channel 10 forest.
It is.
A giant oak. Mighty oak.
It's been going for 10 years now, so they're sort of gearing up. But this is when... But
they're running out of promo ideas. Have you seen Yes, go. How much what can we do? I give him a giant spoon. So you've seen Matt
Preston. The three boys with cutlery.
The three boys have got a giant cutlery.
That's fine.
You want to see them fight to the death with those?
So
it's coming back.
This is when you start seeing interesting things happen with promotion.
All right.
What you have started seeing is spoiler.
Spoiler stuff as well.
And Channel 9's onto this.
The gloves are off with the networks. They really do. That's how I knew MasterChef was back, because A Current Affair were weighing in.
In a very funny way, I think.
Now, this scandals come up with chefs all the time, don't
they? Well, they do.
What are we talking about here?
We're talking about George Kalambaras
and
a gymnasium that he's built in his backyard, too close to a Toorak from Melbourne, a very posh suburb in Melbourne.
Yes.
Too close to this 71-year-old lady's house.
Wowee. Okay, so look, before we get into this, there's a couple of big scandals involved chefs that I can think of.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay, my favourite headline in the history of the world. Gordon Ramsay's porn dwarf double found dead in Badger Hole.
That's right.
But that was true, wasn't it?
Well, it was.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what I want. You know you've made it when you've got your own porn dwarf double.
Yep.
In a Badger Hole.
George Kalambaras wouldn't need a dwarf. He'd just that would be redundant.
George wouldn't be involved in
a Badger
like
Hole.
That.
And the other one was the chef from the Coogee Bay Hotel in Sydney.
Yeah.
Do you remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
He was famously accused of
did
putting
something to
human
the...
feces on ice cream and serving it up to customers.
Oh, no way.
There's an episode of MasterChef I'd like to see.
Well, all I can say is... It's
brain freeze would be the least of your problems.
Look, Shannon Bennett was in their sights last week. This week
That's
it's
right.
been George Kalambaras. And I'd be very nervous, so are you, Matt Preston?
I can't afford to be doing the clumsy chef from Sesame Street next week. Did he fall? Pushed.
Oh, you've got to get a load of this story, though.
Went to
her last night.
Tell
the story is this lady, and she's been living in the same apartment for 30 years. Mm. And next door neighbours is the Kalambarises. They've built a Well, it was a shed come gymnasium. Yeah, and yeah,
I'm not buying the gymnasium bit.
Well,
just
it's
yet.
Very close to the fence line, but they've apparently got it through council, but she doesn't like it. Can we just hear this bird talk? She's a classic. Let's have a listen to what she says.
It looks like a public toilet.
The 71-year-old is talking about this, a gymnasium celebrity chef George Kalambaras has decided to build in the backyard of his mansion, just centimetres from the fence.
It's just a terrible construction. I don't think he should be living in suburbia.
Helen's launched legal action, claiming the gym breaches regulations and that she was only told about it after construction had started.
I've got to keep the blinds closed day and night. Shocking.
Well, Helen Ellsworth
live in suburbia.
Wow.
Well, there should be a rude about George saying you shouldn't live in suburbia.
Well, is there a gated community for chefs now, is there?
Well, she's very worried that George...
Don't wake up Peter Russell Clark, anyone.
She's worried George is going to go the perv on her when she's changing because he can see in her bedroom.
But while he's working out.
Jeez. Well, this really does get my goat, though, this stuff, and how it gets to air. Because for a start also, mind you, when they're filming Helen in her lounge room, they've literally got The Voice on the TV at the time. You can see on the screen.
There's a cross-promotional opportunity.
There's a cross-promotion. Can we just hear a little bit more of Helen's lovely tones?
Okay.
What do you know about George the celebrity?
I know very little about George Commissaris, but I have heard it on good authority that he is a television cook. George, demolish this terrible creation at the back of the property. We'd all have a little bit of peace and we'd all have privacy.
Oh, hang on. First of all, how's that whack? She calls him a cook. So this is the worst thing as a chef.
She doesn't watch telly. She's got The Voice on.
Completely. She's 71. What else is she doing with her time? She's watching TV. She's full of it. Leave George alone. That is just ridiculous.
George should send over a plate of food.
She should.
He should. He should send her over some devils on horseback or something.
This is what kills me, though. This is where I'm so suspicious about everything. Just to let everybody know, that was a classic spoiler alert.
Spoiler
101
alert.
Current affair.
Bang. Straight into it. I like it. You're onto it. It's a good story. Chefs must shift units. Or sell stuff. It's clickbait. They're always being involved.
As I said, look out, Matt Preston, you're next in line.
You're next.
Yeah. All right. On you.
You got more entertainment coming up a little later too, Jane.
You do.
That's just a little teaser with Jane's entertainment reports.
Before we get there, I have some... Listen up, gents.
All right.
You need to
you're
hear
very,
this next bit.
I've never heard you so vocal.
There's trouble arising.
You had
need
a shock last night,
this.
Didn't you?
I got a shock. I fell off my couch.
You fell off and you still are recovering.
All right, let's just, please. All
right. Australia.
Get
him
a cup of tea.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
That was a real headline, by the way.
Which one?
Gordon Ramsay's porn dwarf double found dead in a badger hole. You got to read on to that point, don't you?
Yeah.
I imagine so.
Read on. I got the films out. it's pretty ripe. There's a fantastic 2.5-some. It's followed by a scene where he goes up on a girl. So anyway.
Michael.
All right. Hey.
Move on.
Time to get on. Hey, this is serious. Yeah. Really serious.
This is not a drill. Calling all men. This is a Category 5 chick flick alert. Abort cinema. Repeat, this is not a drill. Warning. This is a fully blown chick flick alert.
Okay, guys, listen up.
Jeez.
I don't care where you are, if you're driving, pull over, turn up the radio. You need to write this down. You need to do the right thing. I can't believe what I'm seeing.
I don't think I've seen you so serious.
Okay, Mother's
Mate,
Day
you're
is
okay.
when, Jane? Mother's Day
Mother's
is
Day
when?
On Sunday.
Which will explain the high activity in the
Not
chick
this
flick
Sunday,
department.
Sorry, it's
so
coming up.
Jesus, yeah,
sorry, hang on. You made me nervous. I'm shaking. I'm all of a Twitter.
Okay, so
okay,
it's
Sunday, May 13th.
Okay, so in the meantime, this is it. This is high alert.
Right.
This is
got to be on standby.
It's chick flick
season.
What's
going on?
Well, it's happening. I nearly fell off my couch last night when
you
I
see?
Saw it. I think I haven't been this frightened since the release of Eat, Pray, Love. I was on the couch. This is a perfect storm, guys. Do not wander for the next 2 weeks, wander near a multiplex unless you know exactly what you're doing, unless you're going there for an explicit purpose. Avengers, bang. Get in, get out. Don't be sidetracked.
Bang. Isle of Dogs, bang.
And I saw a trailer last night. I think this could... I don't quite understand in what world this is okay, in what kind of fiendish laboratory this was cooked up. This is called, okay, guys, write this down.
Yes, got a pen.
You must avoid. It's called the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. Yeah.
That's not right,
That's
is it?
The friggin' name. The film. Oh, that man. Is it.
Oh, I have girlfriends writing that down. Can you repeat it so they can get it?
Oh, guys, if you get drawn within, do not get within 500 meters of a cinema screening, the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Society.
Oh my God!
It is a perfect storm. It's a romance.
Yep.
Check. Tick. A period piece.
Tick.
Check. Involves a friggin' book club, check, and it's made by Working Title. How many red flags do you want?
Oh, my God, it sounds great.
You've heard the title. That is it. Would you like to hear the trailer, Jane?
I'd love to.
Okay, guys, this is like a black box recording.
Yeah.
I've gone in and got this. Listen to an excerpt from the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peels Pie Society.
Ashton, my name is Dorsey Adams.
I am part of a book club, the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society, founded by Elizabeth McKenna. Our Friday night book club became a refuge to us during the occupation by the Germans.
It's so compelling. These people had to actually live with their enemy. Finally, I'll have something serious to write.
You are not what I expected.
How did you imagine me, Mr. Adams?
I suppose it's possible for us to already belong to someone before we've met them.
I feel keenly how your life has changed the arc of my own forever.
Wow.
Sorry.
What manner?
You are having a meltdown.
What manner of evil is this? Is it in World War II? I'm going to tell you something honestly, Jane.
What?
I've never barracked for the Nazis before, but I find it very difficult not to goose step around the living room as I was watching. Can I just play the last line of that again,
Jane?
Right. Just listen to the last line of this.
I feel keenly how your life has changed the arc of my own forever.
I love the way they never override us, though. Working title.
I hear a lot of sarcasm in your voice there. Look.
Jane. Seriously, can I, just before you go, I want to give that my maximum rating, 4 baths.
With some dripping.
Wow.
Oh, and a tissue.
So you...
I do not get any of that film.
Look, there's a reason why we're friends. What? Because that really is not a film that appeals to me.
Thank you,
Joe. That feels really...
You can sense it, can't you?
Clichéd, rubbish...
Well, I knew that. You established your bona fides when you went to town on The Shape of Water.
Thank you very much.
You got that, and I went, well done, Jane.
Thank you very much. What's the other film I hated that everybody else loves? What's the most famous film that they all love? Where they're in the rain. Notebook. Yeah, Couldn't stand it.
Oh.
Worst film ever.
Jeez.
So I found another one.
Hate mail.
You might need to have the warnings again because there's another one along the same lines that's about to come out. But I don't mean to top you. I think this is worse because it not only involves women, but it involves old women who want to start dating.
What's it called?
Sorry. Well, this one's called Book Club.
What?
Let's have a little listen.
Oh,
we are four smart, successful women. I don't need a man. What is the point?
Who still has any interest?
Ladies, I am not going to let us become those people who stop living before they stop living. I don't care what society says about women our age.
You are better at this than you think you are.
The choice should be ours.
Shut up and kiss me.
Ow! Oh! Let's turn it off now.
That's not good either.
Look,
it's called the book club. They give you a chance.
Yeah.
It's a tip off. It's like the Jane Eyre book club. Remember that one? You get any man who went into a cinema screening gets what he deserves.
But honestly, that will involve dance scenes with old, crusty old osteoporosis kind of women. I'm going to give that my baths rating of 3. Sorry.
Right, you've gone a bit soft there, Joe.
Oh, well, I am a chick.
Okay, here we go. We're going to go to the phones.
Yes.
Yep.
Guys, if this is a chance, this is a bulletin board. It's an early warning system.
Absolutely.
For chick flicks. If you're watching something
and
on Netflix.
And there's heaps coming out now because it's Mother's Day, so
movies.
You're going to be bombarded.
If you want to alert us to something, give us a call right now.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Guys, what other chick flicks do we need to be aware of?
Warning, warning. Chick flick alert.
This has been inspired by what I saw on screens last night, the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Society. Mm. Peel Pie Society. Oh, we get another word in there. That could also...
So Working Title was the company that made Four Weddings and a Funeral and Notting Hill.
Oh, yeah, they've got a record in this department.
Love, Actually.
Oh, yeah.
Which, they're good films. I like those.
Yeah,
Four Weddings and a Funeral is a great movie.
Come on, Jane.
No, it is.
They were.
Come on. No, I'll get you
It's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope. Can I say you've been tipped off? We've already let you know that you don't want to go near that. Anyone who survived The Notebook will know what I'm talking about. You do. You know what I'm saying? At least a book club, the one you promoted, lets you know off the bat that it's a chick flick, not like Mystic Pizza. I mean, that one was, that was terrible.
That was Julia Roberts, wasn't it?
That was a terrible discretion.
That was one of her first films. In fact, that was Julia Roberts' first movie.
Oh, Mystic Pizza, it sounds fun.
Yeah, it does.
Sounds, gets your tummy rumbling.
Yeah. It was a good film, though.
Or you can eat.
Oh, come on.
It was about Mystic in America.
I'm expecting a bit of Animal House style stuff.
Exactly.
What are the mystical powers of the pizza?
Yeah.
You wanted every film to be Animal House
Women
style.
Are good at this, of getting you to go along and see a film under false pretense. I've told
and
you
give
this
us
before.
A call if you feel that there's a film that is, you know, things can go really
A friend of mine went to
off
see,
the deep end.
Went to see Beaches because his girlfriend told him it was a documentary on fly fishing. Another friend of mine, Do you want to go see a Clint Eastwood film?
Bridges
of Madison County. Yeah. Be very careful. That. Women, their IQ goes up 50 points in this department.
Stealth.
Oh, no, we're very, very clever.
All right, let's talk about this. Ali's on the line. Oh, hello, Ali. You've seen it. Oh, you've seen it already.
The Guernsey literary blah, blah movie.
Piece of pie, pizza pie, mystic pie. What is it?
Yes, I actually read the book first.
Was it terrible?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Oh, no, you see, if you say something's beautiful, Mick's just not going to go and see it, Ali.
But the thing is, I'm not a typical girly movie person. I don't watch girly films. I've never seen Dirty Dancing, never seen Ghost, never seen all those horrible chick flicks.
But this you went to see this.
The book.
Now, did you take your partner or who'd you take?
Did you see any with anybody?
I took my sister and I went because it's also her favourite book. Mm, so it was actually the book that made us want to go.
Was there any men in the cinema?
It was actually quite full of guys. So every woman had a male with them.
I bet they did.
The guys are in trouble. That's why.
It was in Cinema Europa.
Oh, yeah.
Either guys in trouble or guys trying to get a route.
There you go. Hey, thanks, Ali.
Older crowd.
All right,
Thank
Ali.
Thank you for calling.
Jeez. Michelle's on the line. Oh, no, Michelle, you've seen it too.
I have. Hi, Mick. Hi, Jane.
How much before you stormed out? What happened?
Now, Mick, I normally agree with you on a lot of things, but you've got to not judge this by the name of it.
Oh, what about all the trailer we saw?
It's
so sloppy.
It's the most magnificent
book. Oh, magnificent. No, that's not another word that'll do it.
And a beautiful film. And, Mick, it's worth seeing.
All right. Who'd you go with, Michelle?
My friend, Linda.
Any men there?
There were
men?
They were two and they were both in their 60s.
Yeah, they're actually 20, but they look 60 by the time the film finished. Thank you, Michelle.
No worries.
All right, there's a bit of support there, not surprisingly, from chicks. Daniel, what do you want to alert the men out there to? What have you seen that that terrified you?
It's called The Time Traveler's Wife. It's pretty old.
Chick flick alert. I've seen it.
Yeah, and?
It's a banner. Eric Banner's in it, isn't he?
Banner's in it, and he's great normally.
Chopper? I'll go and see Chopper.
Yeah. You see Chopper, not in this, Nick. It's bad.
And who's the chick in it again?
The chick from The Notebook. It's Rachel McAdams.
Oh, yeah, it's Rachel McAdams.
There you go. That should have been a tip-off.
Warning.
There it is.
A bit of a blub fest.
All right,
thank
you. If you see that come up on Netflix, Daniel has warned you. Cal, what's the film?
Oh, Ever After.
Oh,
with Drew Barrymore. Chick flick alert. Yeah, okay, describe.
Oh, my God. They hook you in with the Drew Barrymore thing.
Yeah, because
you go, it's going to be good, and it just goes forever, and then you go, it's Cinderella.
hey, steady about Cinderella.
No.
Cal, did you watch the whole thing? Could you get out of there?
No, you can't. You're just going to get out of there.
Did you at least crack on?
Oh, no, I mean, my missus made me watch it.
Oh, so you already? Oh, you didn't have to prove anything.
Yeah. This will be good.
You can get out of a cinema early. I got out of the Titanic at about the 25-minute mark by standing up and going, "I'll bring on the iceberg." I asked to leave. Okay,
thanks, Cal.
Jason, what's the movie, mate?
Hey guys, it's a different take on a chick flick. It could draw them in or it could scare them right off, but it's due out mid-year, and I believe it's got Toni Collette, and it's called Hereditary.
And what's it about? Chick flick
alert! No,
is
no,
this a chick
this
flick? Is
right.
it? What is it? What's the plot?
It's more of a terror where I believe her mother passes away. And the evil spirit goes into her daughter. And it's got scenes of her daughter cutting off pigeons' heads with scissors. And
well, see, that's
yeah, you've
all right.
got me.
It's got a bit of exorcist time.
I'll take that over must-love dogs. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jason. Finally, Dave, what did you see, mate?
G'day, Mick. G'day, Jane.
Hey,
I've got
Dave.
News for
what,
you, Mick.
What?
I went and saw the Guernsey potato peel thing on my own.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Come
on. It's an intervention. Time for an intervention.
What happened in your life?
The Guernsey potato peel thing hurt you. What happened? When did the wheels fall off for you?
a couple of marriages ago, probably.
All right. Well, go there. You might pick up a new one.
Dave, that's
actually, I did have a
sad.
Chat with someone sitting next to me, too.
Oh, that's not a bad way of doing it.
I think we better give you a prize, Dave.
Give
you
him
need
a prize.
Help.
Sure. Kennedy Malloy prize pack coming your way, Dave. Congratulations.
Was it a gold class at least, Dave?
No, it was just, it was actually down on the Mornington Peninsula, actually.
Oh, good for you.
Along and you just
hopefully not at the drive-in. All right, Dave, well done, everyone. You have been warned.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. She's read every mag, tweet and blog and spoken to every unnamed source, so you don't have to. Jane Kennedy's Entertainment Report.
Wow.
I'm just getting through. I've got so many bits and bobs around me at the moment. It's full on. It's Bachelor in Paradise. Last episode was last night.
Okay.
And
how'd you go?
Okay, so Jake and Megan split. Oh, that's probably because she's a lesbian. Oh, sorry, she's bi. That's why that wasn't going to probably work out. That was no surprise there. Jared, you know the bloke who went the blub.
Oh, yeah, with his onesie.
I just got to get on with it. There's so much to
gotcha.
Involved here.
Jared, he hasn't gone the blub again, has he?
No, he's very happy because...
Get off the island, you idiot.
He said to Kira, will you be my girlfriend? That is not going to last.
Okay. Ba-bow, kiss of death, you are.
We also had Grant, who was the American fireman. With no money, I suspect, didn't propose to Ellie. She thought, and they've known each other for the big 4 weeks, this was a big shock. Ellie is this pretty blonde chick, he didn't propose, so she was really upset. But that's okay because she's the new Bachelorette, as predicted by me.
I've been looking for you for a long time.
Oh, that's not them. Yay.
You're overexcited.
That's not them.
You're overcooked.
You've overcooked it because that's Sam and Tara, because we actually got, out of Bachelor in Paradise, we got an engagement.
Oh.
He pulled out a big ring.
All right. And
he's the guy.
To go down on a knee?
Yes.
Describe it to
me. Well, let's have a listen to Sam proposing to Tara, get your tissues ready.
Okay. You are my girl. I've been looking for you for a long time.
Yay.
Tara. I love you. I do. It might seem crazy, but it's not. And I've said it to you 1,000 times in my sleep. I want to spend the rest of my life with you. You're incredible. Will you marry me? Yeah. Baby.
Get off.
Hang on, can we have that?
How can they hear each other with that racket going on?
With the orchestra. I think we need the hurling.
Down.
Can we have some of those
mix? What do you want? Three baths?
Three baths. I actually, I had to do on Twitter last night that I was like not happy with what was happening. And I said, my apologies, I've left the island. Hashtag not buying the love. Hashtag not liking the lovers. Hashtag we'll switch on Bachelor Australia. And then Osher immediately replied to me.
Oh, geez.
He wasn't very happy with
me. You've upset the locals.
He said, "Don't leave us, Jane. The best is yet to come," which was obviously the engagement. So I said, "Okay, Osh, you had me at don't leave us, Jane." I'm easily
sorry. So you did hang in there.
Yeah. And I'll hang in there. I'll watch The Bachelor. I'll watch The Bachelorette because that's my job.
All right.
All right. Now,
is that the big news?
No, coming up soon is the Delta Goodrum playing Olivia Newton-John biopic on Channel 7.
Channel 7 are all in on this one.
They are. Now, you couldn't have picked a better chick to play Olivia Newton-John. As far as I'm concerned.
I've seen the pictures. It's uncanny.
Uncanny. She's going to do a great job. Amazing. One of the greatest images is her dressed up as Olivia from Greece.
Yes.
And this is very close to your
heart,
of
course. Can't wait to see physicals. Let's get
physical clip
as well.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Zanadu. What was the one? Was that the one of the roller skates?
Is that Xanadu?
That's Xanadu.
You better learn your roller skating, toots.
Xanadu. Sorry,
so who's playing John Travolta?
I don't know. I don't think they're very famous people playing.
You don't even
They're not as famous. Delta's the most famous.
Who should that be? They should get the guy who played Squiggy.
from Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley.
It can't be Kinnicky, can it?
Oh.
Yeah, well, no. Well, Mick, as we all know, Kinnicky is no longer with us.
Who was in Greece. But I think we might have to remember, because you spoke with Olivia Newton-John, Mick, and you handled this very sensitively, I thought, because it was at a time
this
when...
This is not a scene in the movie. This is
no,
not,
this is
not
real life.
Breakfast radio.
I just thought we should revisit because of your closeness to Olivia and the way you handled it so sensitively. Let's
so
just have a listen to
typical.
Mick speaking with Olivia Newton-John.
You lost a cast member this week, did you, from Greece?
Jeff,
yeah.
I don't know that he has.
Oh, sorry, pardon me. I may have gone. He's very unwell.
He's very ill.
Sorry, pardon me.
No, he was married to my sister, and she's been in there, and he's not doing very well.
Okay, sorry to hear that.
Again, in my defense,
pardon me.
I was proved correct. Ultimately, I was first with the news. Jane Kennedy.
What?
That should be a scene in the biopic. I'll play myself.
That's it.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
The Foo Fighters, who last night, Mick and Jane, in Jacksonville, Florida, were performing as part of the Concrete and Gold show that was here in Australia.
Which we've seen.
Yeah,
which
awesome.
You spoke with Dave and Taylor, you know, in that hotel room.
Let it go.
And John Travolta was in the crowd.
Because we've just been talking about
Greece
the Olivia
and Olivia
Newton-John.
Yes, the biopic.
And the band brought him out on stage to do a little You're the One That I Want.
They collaborated.
Have you got this?
Yeah, but listen. He can make anything cool.
I like it.
I'm surprised they just know they can play that straight up like that, can't they?
What if my scene was in the Olivia Newton-John biopic, my interview, my very famous interview with her.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think of the casting wise. Who's playing John Travolta?
I believe George Xanthus is. He's a great comic actor.
Bring your A-game. Yeah. They'd probably have to fly out to play me, probably Ryan Gosling, do you think?
Ryan Gosling?
No.
Chris Hemsworth?
Oh.
Are you serious?
Channing Tatum.
Oh, what are you talking about?
What about
shut up, Dave.
Bill Murray?
Oi,
that's a compliment.
Lying, Richard Clapton. who's going to play? This is the key bit of casting. Who's playing the husband who faked his own death?
Oh.
Who's that?
I don't think we should bring that up.
Sam Pang would give it a good
I need to beard it up.
Big second hour coming up.
The Prime Minister next.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
And it is game on, guys. We are going to check out who has gone the hardest to get to a sporting event to watch their team play. I've got a cracking story from overseas. It's going to blow you away. And I think I can top it.
I think it's going to open the floodgates too, because we'd like callers to call up and tell us what you've done to go and see your team play. Hey, how much Mick coin have you got left?
I've still got a fistful of Mick coin, which I'm going to put on the table.
Let's get rid of
today.
Some Mick coin.
64 left.
64?
I've just done the count.
Okay, right. It's time to get cracking,
you can go
guys.
Nuts.
We've got Lawrence Mooney coming up very shortly. We're going to take your calls and take your tweets.
Excellent. But right now
is it time?
We would like to speak with the Prime Minister of Australia.
Welcome.
Well, I was biding my time. I was very excited. It's great to be back from Villers Bretonneux because I love saying Villers Bretonneux.
You loved saying that.
How did you go over there? You had a good time, yeah?
I had a terrific time, but it's nice to be home, Michael. I mean, there's only so much coq au vin, escargot, and beef bourguignon that you can take before you get a bad case of the squits, and I just want to be on RAAF1 back home.
All right.
I mean, really, that frog food really messes you up after a while.
I'm sure you gave it a great pounding. Now, straight back into it.
I was listening earlier in the show, I do like your show. And
Thank you, sir.
Of course, you're talking about maybe casting somebody as Patrick McDermott. He was the the husband of Olivia that disappeared. Yeah. What about Arndt?
He's got a runner.
I mean, Sam Pang's a little bit too chubby. I mean, what about Hung Lee, maybe? Hung hasn't had throw the guy a biscuit.
There's so many.
Asian actors out there to play the disappearing husband.
He's done a runner on Olivia Newton-John.
Well, you just don't do that in a first start.
I'm trying to find a scale of things that I reckon are bad. Faking cancer.
That's shocking.
There was a current affairs the other night on a woman who's terrible.
But faking your own disappearance to get away from our living, I mean, that is wrong.
That is un-Australian. Clearly wasn't.
Not far behind.
What about, is there going to be a part in the show where Koala Blue is opened by Paul Hogan
with Pat
on
Farrah.
Rodeo Drive?
I had a Koala Blue windcheater, I'll have you know.
And who's playing Matt Latanzi, by the way?
Oh, have the cast.
Possibly their daughter.
Chloe's terrific. She's a real talent. Didn't she cut a CD some years ago?
Richard Brancatzano is playing Matt Latanzi.
Brancatzano. As long as he brings that Brancatzano magic to the table, what would go wrong now?
We all love him. What a great body of work Brancatzano has.
Well, speaking of work, I think we need to have a bit of an explanation from you about your new education blueprint, Nikonski.
Well, very simple.
Come on, what's going on?
Now, I could go on with
this is a mate of yours, isn't it?
Engaging and embracing, evolving, holistic approach to a vocation that is teaching. But what I'll say is quite simply, there will be schools, and some students will do well and go into IT and the law. Yep. Most will be above average and go into middle management, retail, or the public service. Yes. And then there will be those that slip through the gaps, and they will go into trades. And they will be richer and happier than everybody else. They'll have triple garages filled with Hiluxes, jet skis, Harley Davidsons. They'll have a five-burner barbecue on a hardwood timber deck.
I'm loving the sound of this, sir.
We call them tradies, or you probably know them as listeners. Now, then, of course, there's the private school system, and I highly recommend it. Why wouldn't you get your child a hockey stick, a straw hat, some influential friends, and just let them enjoy their lives? That is my education policy, and it always has been.
That is a blueprint. Thank you for bringing us up to speed with it. That'll get you elected. That could be the most popular thing that you've introduced since you became Prime Minister of this great country.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Lawrence Mooney joins us now on Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Lawrence.
Hello, Jane. Hello, Michael. Lawrence. I'm a bit devastated today. Just before we get into business, you know, news has broken about Bomber Thompson. He's been bailed. And, you know, it's pretty full on.
Are you a big Essendon supporter?
I'm a big Essendon supporter and I love Bomber and I'm really disappointed that he didn't invite me to that party because it looked like it was just going off.
All right. We'll leave it there.
Your producer just left the building.
He is a big figure in AFL.
Tell me about your mum. What's she been up to?
Well, Olive's very tricky. She's 85 years of age.
Yeah.
She can't
remember
what happened.
How's her health going?
She's very healthy. Yep. My mum has been living on a diet of bananas, avocados and confectionery for about 20 years. And so why interfere with something that's working? She's 85. She just eats chocolates and biscuits. And like I said, she can't remember what happened yesterday, but she's still got her driver's license.
Oh, wow. Terrific
on you, Vic Rhodes, for extending that for another 5 years. Recently she said to me, she goes, I said, Mum, your tail light's smashed up. And she goes, I was backing out of the driveway and somebody just ran up my bottom. And I said, really? And she goes, yes. And they got out and they were And she makes up tales, and they were very abusive. And I said, oh, that's no good. Anyway, we're going down to the pub for lunch, and I'm backing out of her driveway, and I notice that the big tree right next to her driveway, there's a lot of white paint on it, and at the base of it there's some smashed tail light. I said, I know who ran up your bum, and she goes, who? And I said, that tree. And she goes, oh, I don't think so.
That's so right, coming back to her.
Very cheeky.
You sprung your mum.
I love these. The old ducks fascinate me.
Yeah.
And a wonderful old lady I know called Googie. She's about 82.
Great.
Set the alarm.
Not Googie Withers. No, she's not with us anymore.
Sets the alarm every night for 3:30, mm-hmm. gets up and has a 7-ounce glass of beer.
Ooh.
And goes back to bed.
Wow.
That is terrific.
Oh, that's good advice. I'm going to take that with me.
I love my mum. I do. And I have a lot of respect for the fact that, you know, she raised three boys. Her husband, my dad, died prematurely. She migrated from England. I've got a great deal of respect for her. But sometimes I can watch her work away through a plate of steak and chips. And I just think to myself, I should end you with a book, because it's the chewing that gets you down in the end. It's just, how long is this going to take? Seriously.
Fast game's a good game, Mum.
Pass the steak over. I'll chew it myself and then just regurgitate it into your mouth like some kind of emperor penguin, Mum.
You are going to rot in hell, my friend. Oh, always a pleasure to catch up with you.
You know, the only reason I don't is because I don't think she'd go down the first time, and then it'd be a bloody battle to the death.
What's her name, Adam? Just
Olive.
Olive, that's a great name.
And she loves the M's. Hello, Mum, if you're listening.
Hello, Olive.
Hello, Mum. Put your food down.
Hey, she's Loz, actually, you've got a show coming.
She's a big Bob Dylan fan, so.
Is she? I don't know if we've got any Bob for her, but
yeah, how about she get any Bob, Mum?
Will she get to Sydney to see you at the Enmore on Friday, Loz?
You know what? She could come and watch that show and then come along and watch the same thing the next night. She wouldn't remember the thing that had gone on.
We'll get her a nice steak for dinner and take her along to that.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it.
This is Kennedy Malloy, your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy's Sports Wrap.
We've done entertainment. Time for a bit of sport. I love this story.
I do too.
I love the madness of sports fans, the lengths they go to, how they get the job done, what their team means to them, and this, I think, is a great example.
What's happened to this soccer fan?
Talk about your great fans. A diehard fan of Turkish soccer club Denizlispor,
mm-hmm.
Recently made international headlines after renting a crane so he could watch his team play in a league game after being banned from the stadium for 1 year.
Oh, that's...
There was an incident. He contested it.
Yes.
He said this isn't the end of it. And if you have a look at this brilliant picture, which we'll post on our website, there is the ground and behind it, he has got a crane. He has amped it up and he is standing in the box of the crane watching his team play.
High above the stadium.
What a winner.
That is awesome. I love it.
It is a winner. But as you say, there has been a precedent already here in Australia, over in the great state of Western Australia in Perth. There's a man called Mel Brown who's a legend over there in Waffle AFL circles.
Tough man.
He's one of the great larger-than-life characters this code has produced over the run. And he was coaching. He may have been captain coach at the time, but he was definitely coaching South Fremantle.
Yep.
And the same, he got barred from entry to the ground. So to address his team at quarter and three-quarter time, he got a cherry picker, placed it outside the ground, had the cherry picker, had the box loaded onto the ground and then lowered it and hovered it about 3 feet above the ground, not touching the ground.
So technically he was not...
Technically he was outside the ground.
Taking foot on the...
He had not stepped foot inside the ground.
That's genius.
And addressed the troops at quarter and three-quarter.
Well done, Mel Brown.
That is one of the great sporting stories this country has ever
produced.
Funny,
this guy must have got the idea then.
Yeah. Well, he probably has.
I mean, because it's legendary.
It got us thinking about Lynx fans. We'll put Park Mel Brown for one moment. But Lynx fans have gone to watch their team play.
You mean like to travel overseas or to...
How you've managed to get a ticket. I went to see the World Cup cricket in the Caribbean and hired an 80-foot boat and with my friend sailed through the Caribbean on the boat with a staff of three. There was two of us and a staff of three. There was a captain, an engineer, and a cook.
Are you telling me this is the only way that you could get to see?
Well, hang on. I haven't got to the struggle bit.
Doesn't sound very hard this day.
So I remember leaving the island of Mystique. We must never, ever talk of what happened.
We don't go there, I know.
Mystique.
I know.
It's no one's business.
I'm not going to bring it up again.
But we got to St. Lucia, where Australia were playing South Africa in the semi-finals, and that's where we had to give the boat back. So now we're watching Australia play South Africa in St. Lucia. We win. We go through to the final in Barbados. But Barbados is 20 minutes away, but all the flights are booked. So we go, we're so close. Well, how can we get there?
I'm just imagining the cogs turning in that tiny brain of yours.
We catch a plane to Puerto Rico, clear customs in America, wait for a connecting flight, and then fly back to Barbados. A 20-minute flight took us 12 hours. But we got to the hotel in Barbados where we stayed with the team and watched our team win a World Cup final.
That's what we're talking about. That's extreme behaviour of getting to one of your favourite sporting matches.
So our late friend John Clark told a beautiful story to me about a mate of his, a Bledisloe Cup match in it was at the MCG of all places, and his mate didn't have a ticket, and he had to do something very similar. Where, again, all flights, as you can imagine, from New Zealand to Australia were completely booked out. You could not get on. Had to catch a flight. He decided at the last minute he wanted to go, caught a flight to Vanuatu, then came back to Melbourne, got to the MCG, realised he didn't have a ticket, saw a guy in an electric wheelchair going in, and just hooked onto the back and put his hands on the handles.
Like a carer.
And everyone thought he was the carer. So the guy's got electric. He doesn't need any help, but he's just pushed in, he's probably hit, really good seat. He's hitched a ride. It wasn't a seat. The guy drove straight out onto the oval where the special marked area for the wheelchairs was on the extension of the interchange bench. So he's left New Zealand without a ticket and basically got on.
Oh, my God.
How clever.
There's a selfie.
How good is that? He did. He rang his mates. Check me out.
You'll see
me on the telly. The links you've gone to. We'll open this up to our listeners.
All right, 133353 is the number. So, what length have you gone to see your team play? We'll take your calls after this.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Take your calls right now on lengths you've gone to see your team play.
Yes, that's right. It nearly cost me my education.
No,
I was
a
team. I was sporting events you've travelled to.
Yeah.
When the Grand Prix was in Adelaide and I was living in Melbourne doing my first year of uni. I travelled to Adelaide in a car with my mates to see it, and travelling back, let's just say we got a little waylaid. We had to sober up and wait till we drive back. And I had to drive straight to the exhibition buildings in Melbourne to do my classical studies exam. Was half an hour late, hungover, and when I got there and walked in, realised it was an open book test. So everyone had books on their desk, and I had no books.
What I'm still sort of is ringing my head is when you said classical studies.
Yeah,
classical studies. Well, I had to make up all my books, so I'm going as Robard said in his study of Grecian Urns.
Somehow I think you got away with it.
Third
annoyingly.
Class honours.
Oh, for God's sake!
Hey,
that's annoying.
This is in honour of our mate from Turkish side, Deniz Spor. Who hired a crane after he was told he was not allowed into the ground to watch
his
team play. Well done, mate. Good on you. We've got a few diehard fans on the line. Jay, who was the team? What did you do?
G'day, Mick. G'day, Jane. So a couple of years back I was in a Kentucky tour with my brother, and we'd just done about 20-odd days through Europe. So it's a bit of an endurance test by itself. But I'd let a mate know that from Liverpool that I was going to be there a few months earlier, and I'd asked him if he had a spare ticket for the Leicester game on New Year's Day.
Yep.
And anyway, I'd written him off. He didn't get back to me. And so we finished the tour on New Year's Eve in Paris, and we're having an absolute cracker of a night. And my phone buzzed at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've had about, 500 pints under my belt. And he said, mate, I've got a ticket. Liverpool play Leicester at Anfield. It's been a boyhood dream forever to go and see him play.
Yeah.
And they kicked off about 3 o'clock that afternoon, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, well, I've got 12 hours to somehow cut this mob away without upsetting everyone. and
you abandoned the Kentucky tour.
So I walked up to my brother and said, mate, love you. I'm going to the toilet. I'll see you later. And he just went, you're going to the
toilet? Oh, the phantom.
Yeah.
So I faded. Yeah, in reality, I went out, jumped in a taxi, got a taxi to Paris, Charles de Gaulle. Bought a ticket over the counter. I had my passport and my credit card on me. I left everything in my hotel in Paris. And
Jay.
Well done, Jay.
Jay, you've been waiting for this moment to come up, haven't you? It's the perfect story to tell. I'm sure you've dined out on it. We'll give you a prize because that's a ripper.
Good on you, mate.
Prize pack for you, Jay.
Well done, Jay. Robbo, what'd you do, mate? Who was the team? What happened?
Robbo, yeah. How you going, Mickey?
Good, mate. What happened?
Grand final day this year, Tigers.
Yes.
Also the bloke who snuck into the corporate box.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I gave my sister's Richmond. She come over from Adelaide, so I gave her my ticket, and I went to my normal sneaking place, and it was all barricaded off, and there was a Channel 7 TV truck there, so I grabbed two coils of wire and walked straight in.
Oh, no.
You are unbelievable.
Are you wearing high vis or anything like that? Is that one of the things you do?
As a Channel 7 employee, I am appalled.
Oh, you're horrified.
Grab two coils and march through like you own the joint. Well done, Robbo. Got to see his team play on the big day. Matt,
thanks,
what did you do, mate? Who was the team?
Denver Broncos in the NFL.
Yep.
Flew into LA, went to Vegas, and then drove from Vegas to Denver, which was four states in 5 days, just to see Denver play, and which was a lifelong dream to go and finally see them over there. And luckily they won as well, which made it worth it.
Right.
Oh. Cherry on top.
It's like a Thelma and Louise-style road trip across four states for Matt. Well done, mate. International flight. Car trip, four states, 5 days, well done.
That's a lot of roadside stops, a lot of pancakes and black coffee.
I like to see it. Phil, what did you do, mate?
Mate, younger brother gave me a call about a week out saying he's got tickets to the Manchester United Crystal Palace FA Cup final. Yes. Get on a plane. I've got seats on the Bobby Moore suite, 50-yard line.
Oh, man.
2-1 in extra time, mate.
2-1 in extra time. Oh, you've nutted it. Now, how much coaxing did it take to get you on that flight?
Let's just say the coaxing to get me on the flight was the easy part. It was the getting it past the missus was the really hard part.
The usual negotiations would have ensued. Yeah.
But the good part of it was with my nephew, who I don't get to see very often, and he's a big Man U supporter, and we had an absolute ball. That's probably the highlight of it.
There it is. Well done, Phil.
I'd like to speak up on behalf of all the misses. I reckon you all underestimate us. We like to see you blokes happy, so we're all up for it, aren't we? Oh,
we'll put that to the test.
Well, don't worry. It is going to be put to the test bloody soon, so... You just be quiet.
We'll see.
There.
Everyone happy.
Everyone's happy.
Everyone happy. Nobody's upset. Hey, John, what do you got, mate? Who's the team?
All right, Geelong Cats, 1989 Grand Final. It was my first. Yep. Yeah, so it was my first year following Geelong, and wanted to see Gary Ablett on the big stage. But my dad and I didn't have a ticket, so being 8 years old, my dad took me along and used me as bait, saying, can someone give us some free tickets for my poor son? And so we got tickets, members wing, and you can see us twice in the grand final. One problem is we watched Geelong lose by 6 points in the under-19s grand final, 2 points in the reserves grand final, and a goal, of course, against Hawthorne on the big stage. So besides the results, it was a fantastic day.
I like it a lot. There you go. I think that's a great cross-section of guys who've gone the extra yard.
They have.
To see
like
their
it.
Team play. Won it all. Well done.
Hey, we've got 64 Mick coins left.
Oh, jeez. All right, we've got to start ripping through these.
Stand by. Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
The world's newest and best currency, Mintcoin. What are you prepared to pay?
That is the question. Mm. 64 to go, and they are going to go in a rush now.
Well, it's I think they will now.
The markets are shifting. I've had a look at this banking inquiry.
What's a Bitcoin worth now?
I think I could be called up any day.
Really?
To answer the question. Yeah. Do you know what I do? I'd like to be carted out in a coma. You know, that guy from the AMP?
He had a bit of a turn.
A bit of a turn in the witness chair.
They're dropping, like they're resigning, they're being sacked. In fact, I think there could be an opening for you, one of those top jobs.
Do you remember how the Liberal Party just fought this all the way? There's no need for a banking inquiry.
Nothing's up.
No. Bligh was saying, oh, well, you need to have the terms. I don't think we need to go through all this.
It's
an absolute, the killing fields.
You could run AMP. There's a gig opening there.
They're so used to sacking other people, they're all having to go themselves. I'm so sick of seeing them. Anyway.
It's all gone quiet.
Well, gone very quiet. In the meantime, I just...
Mitcoin's going through off the charts.
Pretty keen to offload some Mitcoin. Mark's on the line. Hello, Mark. What are you offering for a Mitcoin?
I've got a cowl with Stuart McGill's DNA on it.
Not to be used in any evidence.
It's sweaty on.
It's all good.
Hang on, sweat. So what happened? Explain what happened.
New South Wales were playing a game up in Coffs Harbour, and Stuart's left his towel on the ropes out there. My youngest son, probably 9 years old, said, "Oh, I'd like that."
Yeah, he swiped
my,
it.
My eldest son has done probably the first good thing he's done as a brother and said, "I'll get it for you." So he's jumped the fence. He's walked out there trying not to get caught by security. It's about 30 metres away. Picked up the towel and security have seen him and he has bolted for the fence.
It's a towel.
Only trouble was we'd also bolted when we saw that, so he had to find us out the exit.
You've done a runner from your son.
Wow.
Oh, of course. I think every father would do that, wouldn't they?
This feels very cathartic for you, Mark, to talk about openly. You feel that you've come to terms about your theft.
I feel better now.
So. Do you? That's all right.
I like the sound of this. I mean, I might need to get, you're saying if I DNA tested this and I got, I'd have to obviously get Stuart McGill's DNA.
You'd have to trust that it's bona fide Stewie McGill's sweat.
Yeah.
There you go. Done.
Sold, Mark.
Buying this.
Excellent.
Bitcoin your way.
Good on you, Mark. Joe's on the line. Joe, what are you prepared to offer for a Bitcoin?
Mickey, have I got a deal for you, my friend?
What is it, buddy?
A date with my gorgeous girlfriend.
Hang on, Joe.
Sold.
Hang on. No, this is a bit pimpy.
What
the hell?
No. She cooks. She cleans. Oh, look, Mickey. No more going to
cooks and
Wi-Fi.
Cleans.
No.
Wow.
Does she know about this offer?
Jane,
she knows. She knows about this. She's got a bit of a crush on Mick.
Where are we going? Where? All right.
Yeah. No.
Done. Okay. Cheryl's in.
Are you coming?
Oh, no, you can have her. Yes, that's right.
Oh, Joe, you sound like a horrible person.
No, you're okay. Send through some pictures, please. Thanks, Joe. Nicole. Nicole, how are you first?
I'm good. How are you going? This
now,
is Jane.
Before
good,
we
thanks,
get into this, I'm torn as to whether I want to do this or not, given she's been such an evil mole to me lately.
Who are you talking about?
You.
Me?
You are. Hey, what do you have on offer here?
Well, it was only, Jane, you're only talking about this topic yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have my 1977. What do you think it is?
It's got to do with ABBA.
Yes, I've got my 1977 ABBA ticket.
It's concert ticket from a 1977.
Yes.
Yes.
To sell it. Hey, Jane, to sell it, you need a Bitcoin. And you currently don't have one.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
Oh, you do. You've got the one that.
I do because I haven't cooked you dinner yet, but I've already got that.
All right.
Thank you, Nicole. That's so lovely of you.
Oh, that's just wonderful. Thank you. Actually,
how generous.
I actually was speaking to you not that long ago with your cheating segment too.
Oh, yes.
With what?
Oh, yeah, no, Nicole likes to call up this show. She's a good listener, so.
Yeah. How many Bitcoin you got?
Thanks, Nicole.
Only one, I hope, Nicole. Jim's on the line. Jim. What have you got on offer for a Bitcoin? Jim? Not there. Keep moving.
Jim?
Rachel?
Oh, yeah. G'day, Jim. How are you?
Jim?
Go ahead.
G'day, mate. I'm a conductor of opera, and I got tickets to the Mick Ardo. It's an opera about a bloke. He fancies himself as a bit of a comedian. He's got an overbearing female companion who's always, shutting him down and everything.
Daddy, Jim. Is this how you're describing Gillett and Sullivan?
Oh, well, don't tell Mick that, but the Mikado, I feel if I say the Mikado enough, he'll...
Hang on, mate, but you can't...
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a fiction, but it's a fictional opera.
Yeah, but you get tickets. You're going to go to it.
But what can I go to? There's nothing there.
What do you mean?
There's a bar.
Well, are you going to write an opera for me?
No. The opera exists, and he's the conductor.
You mean the Mikado?
Yeah.
I'm the conductor, and I'll buy you a beer afterwards as well.
Oh, that's a good deal, Mickey. Off to the Mikado you go.
You're coming.
Oh, no, take a date.
Take it for two.
Take Cheryl.
It's coming your way. The conductor. Can I conduct?
That's pretty fancy.
I wouldn't mind. Can I conduct?
Oh.
Jim?
Give him the stick for a minute, Jim.
Hang on, the phone's going a bit fuzzy at the
moment. Oh, you're horrible.
Yeah, that's the last we hear from Jim. And Rachel, finally, let's have a chat to Rachel.
G'day.
What have you got for a Bitcoin?
Well, for you, Mick, for a Bitcoin, I've actually got a buffalo skull that was shot in the Northern Territory with a 50 cal, and it's got a hole just above between its eyes.
Oh, look, I'm against violence.
Shot very humanely. It was dispatched quickly, as they say.
Then we'll put this in the exhibition as all a right. cautionary tale.
100%.
Well done, Rachel. There you go.
Hey, by the way, if you want to get yourself a Mitcoin, here's what you do. You go Facebook, Kennedy Malloy, and tell us what you're prepared to exchange for a Mitcoin. We've got about 60 left now.
Yeah.
Kennedy Malloy on Facebook.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
We're talking lengths. People went to see their team today was one of the things, and people went to extraordinary lengths to see them. I was reminded by my girlfriend that she and I and a few girls hung outside a football ground about 1977 to try and get into grand final.
Yes.
And we just went up to all the blokes who had members and said, can we have your ladies' ticket? And they went, yeah, sure.
Oh, no way.
Handed it over, boom, we got in.
And you got in. Well done.
That genius. Was
you little scammer.
Also, Nick Jolly has on Twitter has said a friend of his had a job at a catering company in Sydney. He turned up to his first shift at the grand final, changed his top, put on his sunnies, watched the grand final for free, and surprisingly, the agency did not call him again to come back.
Doesn't
work.
Matter. He got to see his team play.
That was
a
good plan, wasn't it?
Hey, keep in touch anytime you want. Kennedy Malloy, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Been
tomorrow.
A big show today. Huge show tomorrow. Russell Howcroft.
Russell Howcroft. Gruen's back. And
yes,
of course,
on tomorrow night. And also, who are we going to speak to?
David Reynolds.
Yes. That's right.
Who's a Bathurst 1000 winner, by the way.
I want to speak to him about the shoey. And Tahan.
His girlfriend.
In his words, he says
Miss Universe finalist.
Punching above his weight.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be a big show.
Okay,
all
right, great.
That is
we'll
coming
see you
up
then.
Tomorrow on Kennedy Malloy around Australia.
Go and put these prints in the back of my car.
I'm not doing it.
You will.
You organise some removalists to do
over
it.
Over this.
I'm not touching them anymore.
Jesus.
It's pretty rude, actually, one of them.
Real. Kennedy Malloy. We'll see you tomorrow.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.